Chapter 54. As we walked along, I reflected on a circumstance which all that I had lately heard about Strickland forced on my attention. Here, on this remote island, he seemed to have aroused none of the detestation with which he was regarded at home, but compassion, rather, and his vagaries were accepted with tolerance. To these people, native and European, he was a queer fish, and they took him for granted. The world was full of odd persons who did odd things, and perhaps they knew that a man is not what he wants to be, but what he must be. In England and France, he was the square peg in the round hole, but here the holes were any sort of shape, and no sort of peg was quite amiss. I do not think he was any gentler here, less selfish or less brutal, but the circumstances were more favourable. If he'd spent his life amid these surroundings, he might have passed for no worse a man than another. He received here what he neither expected nor wanted among his own people. Sympathy. I tried to tell Captain Bruneau something of the astonishment with which this filled me, and for a little while he did not answer. "It is not strange that I, at all events, should have had sympathy for him," he said at last. "For though perhaps neither of us knew it, we were both aiming at the same thing. What on earth can it be that two people so dissimilar as you and Strickland could aim at?" I asked, smiling. "Beauty." "A large order," I murmured. "Do you know how men can be so obsessed by love that they are deaf and blind to everything else in the world? They are as little their own masters as the slaves chained to the benches of a galley. The passion that held Strickland in bondage was no less tyrannical than love.